Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Fan hotline right now to talk to our good friend and what I would consider the world's foremost authority on basketball, Chris Extran from the NBA. is that an accurate way to describe you?
That might be an overstatement, but I'll take it.
Yeah, well, okay. How about the smartest basketball mind that I've ever met? How about that? Does that
okay?
That...
We'll go with that one. That might be better.
Oh, okay, well, there we have it. But Chris, you know, those of you who don't know, that Chris has been with the NBA for a long, long time, and he's also responsible for the draft guide and doing all kinds of other things. But Chris, when you look at a player like Wes Unseld, who died today at the age of 74, the one thing that I think that a lot of people that obviously didn't watch the league back then or don't know about the league don't really realize, because all they hear about is his rebounding, is that he literally was only about, 6'7" or something, right? I mean, he wasn't a very tall guy, but he was a big, strong, wide guy, proving that rebounding is a skill like none other.
Well, he was a player unlike any other. I'm not saying he was better than anybody, but there wasn't anybody like him then, and there certainly isn't anybody like him now. The basketball being played now is a lot different. It's much more dependent on the three-point shot and, you know, speed, quickness. But when Wes Unseld played, whether he was playing against Chamberlain, whether he was playing against Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Willis Reed, any of the great players playing at that time, I'm sure each one of them would tell you, and they have told me in interviews over the years, that you never forgot that you played a game against Wes Unseld because you left the arena bruised and battered. He's one of the strongest guys ever to play. And when Chamberlain tells you somebody's strong, that's somebody who's strong. Wes Unseld was, as you said, not very tall. Even then, he was a small center, but he knew how to carve out space. He knew how to hold his position. He set incredible picks that some people probably can still feel after they ran into them. And on top of all those other things, he's a genuinely nice, kind human being.
Well, that was the thing I was going to say. I mean, you know, later on after playing, I think he was a coach and a general manager. I think he did some things with the league office and everything. But I've never met, you know, and obviously you've met a lot more people that have played in the NBA or been around the NBA, but I've met a number of them and, you know, I've done a number of stories over the year. I've never met anybody that has a bad word to say about him.
You know, people sometimes equate smiling a lot with being a nice person. And Wes Unseld was the antithesis of that, because he didn't smile much, but he was very warm, very kind. And if you could get past the fact that he had such a gruff-looking exterior, and if you weren't intimidated by that, if you spoke with him, he was really a wonderful guy. And one of the times that I really got to know him, I was doing a long piece on Juwan Howard, who'd come into the league. And at that time, Washington wasn't that good. And so Juwan Howard had to play all the time. And he was playing over 40 minutes a game as a rookie. And so I interviewed Wes, who was, I think, GM of the team at that time. And I said, you know, what's the thinking on this? Is he going to burn out, you know, by the end of the season? Do you think he's playing too many minutes? And he gave me the most withering look. And he said, Chris, did they make the court shorter since I stopped playing? As far as I know, it's still the same length. And, you know, I played 44 minutes a game when I was a rookie. And he said, I don't feel bad for him at all. He wants to be in the NBA. He's going to play like he's in the NBA. And, boy, I felt about 1 inch tall after that. But we laughed about it for years after that, because he just took offense because when he came into the league, of course, as most people read today, if they didn't know it already, he's one of only two to be Rookie of the Year and MVP in the same season, which he shares that with Chamberlain. And, that's an incredible feat, that probably is never, it's one of those things that happens once every 50 years. So his place in NBA history is assured. He's one of those guys that you look at and you can't just look at the stats. I mean, yeah, he got over 10,000 points, 10,000 rebounds, and there aren't that many who did that. But beyond that, anybody who played with him will tell you that, guys would forget about going over or under the screen. When he set a screen on a guard, that guy was screened. There wasn't any way to go over or under. There was too much Wes Unseld in the middle there. And again, if you ran into him hard and nobody called out the screen, you could lose a couple teeth. He was a wall of a person. He was just that strong.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly. He sounded like he was really a strong, physical player when you listen to the other centers, like you said, talk. I think the amazing thing is he's 6'7" and played more than 10 years, and he's averaged 14 rebounds a game, not for a season, but for his entire career. That, to me, is one of his most impressive statistics, if you ask me.
Yeah, Wes was one of those guys who, people think you need to jump high to get rebounds. And he figured out that all he had to do was make sure the other guys couldn't get the rebound. He didn't have to jump that high to get it. He used his body to shield everybody else off from where the rebound was coming off. And then when the ball came down in the area where he could jump and get it, then he would get it. But I just remember when I was a kid living in New York, going to Madison Square Garden, and really the games between the then Baltimore Bullets and the Knicks were really wars. I mean, you had Willis Reed, who's also in the Hall of Fame, along with Wes, against Unseld. The two of them would match up against each other. You had DeBuscher against Gus Johnson, Jack Maron against Bill Bradley. And, of course, one of the things that links the Knicks and the Bullets forever is the trade of Earl Monroe from those early Bullets teams to the Knicks. And the Knicks won two championships with Monroe. The second one with Monroe. But the Bullets did win the NBA championship in 1978. And that was after they'd acquired Elvin Hayes to go along with Wes Unseld. So when you were playing against the Baltimore Bullets in those days, and then they were renamed the Washington Bullets, you had to have two big guys good enough to play against Elvin Hayes and Wes Unseld. And most teams just didn't have that.
No, and again, that era, there were a lot of great centers, though, weren't they? I mean, when he played, it was a different game, like you said, than it is today, just from the standpoint of back then, centers and big men were still really valued. When Chris, did that start to change? I mean, it feels like that probably started to change maybe in the 90s a little bit.
Well, I think when they started changing a lot of the rules to emphasize perimeter play, and they got rid of a lot of the holding in the lane, they got rid of a lot of illegal screening, they got rid of a lot of, a lot of the ways that you could play defense, to be honest with you, it just changed the game. And you think about the greats in the league during the Wes Unseld era, not only the guys I already mentioned, Chamberlain and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Willis Reed, but yet guys like Bill Walton, Nate Thurman, Dave Cowens. Every single one of those guys is in the Basketball Hall of Fame, and there's a reason why, because teams used to build around centers. And guys like Unseld, who was never a big scorer, was a terrific passer. He was a guy that, you throw the ball to him in the high post and he could hit cutters. People would cut off the post, off the high post. And you just don't see that kind of basketball anymore. I mean, sometimes, even though I'm not that old, I feel like I'm talking about something that happened in the Stone Age, because when you compare it to the way basketball in the NBA is played now, the two couldn't be more different.
No, you're absolutely right. And that always leads me to one thing I was going to say. You talked about Wes Unseld as a passer. I was reading a story today about him. where he was like apparently incredibly good at outlet passing, which is something I think we don't look at as a skill. But if you're a great rebounder and you're a great outlet passer, you really have a big hand in the offense, don't you?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, people think of offensive players having to be, you know, fast and get out on the fast break and dunk the ball. But back in those days, Unseld was getting so many rebounds. And when he got so many defensive rebounds, they started their fast break with his outlet passing. And oftentimes, you know, he could throw the ball from one end of the court to the other, you know, on the fly, from shoulder to shoulder height. And that's not something that most people can do. Very few in basketball history have been able to do it like him. But the thing about him was he was not only so strong that he could throw the ball that far, but he was always accurate. You know, they used to always have these small, quick guards on those Bullets teams. Kevin Porter, earlier it would be like Chenier or Archie Clark, guys like that. But they were quick, and they would get out, and he could throw the ball to them at midcourt. And already half the court was covered by that outlet pass, you know, and that's very difficult for a defense to get back and react to. But again, when you talk about outlet passing, you know, you're talking about a whole different game. You're talking about a game dominated by centers who were averaging, you know, 13, 14, 15 rebounds a game. And the game just isn't that way anymore. There's almost nobody, you know, Andre Drummond, I guess, would be the one dinosaur type player where you look at him and you say, well, that guy plays the way that, you know, that people used to play. But there just aren't many like that anymore. And furthermore, they don't get the number of rebounds that he got to guide the offense in that way.
Well, Chris, last one I'd have for you before I let you go. If, you know, given the difference in the NBA, you know, today to back then, if Wes Unseld, or even, you know, let's go even bigger than that. Let's say, you know, Bill Russell or Will Chamberlain were brought into a time capsule and dropped into today's NBA. What kind of player would they be?
Well, I think the outstanding abilities that those guys had would still be useful, but it would be up to a team to know how to use it. And that's the thing I would be concerned about. I mean, I think Russell, you know, probably would average 6 points a game just because they wouldn't throw the ball to him. I mean, the thing that people have to understand about the way basketball was played way back in those days, and again, I'm dating myself, but the thing that is poorly understood now is that centers like those guys, like Unseld and Russell, they could touch the ball every single offensive possession and still end up taking 8 or 9 shots per game. The offense was part of a 5-man movement, and the ball would whip around, and those guys were great passers. And, you know, a lot of times they would throw the pass that was before the pass that got the assist. So you wouldn't see it in the assist column. They'd get what some people today call the hockey assist, you know, the second assist. But I don't know. I really don't. I mean, somebody asked me about Luca Garza the other day, a kid who's a junior in college and has put his name in for the draft. This is a guy who averaged, you know, basically 23-10 in the Big Ten this past year for Iowa. And if you look at the mock drafts, most people don't have him being drafted. This is a guy who was a first-team All-American, 6'11", strong, you know, kid who can score, who can rebound. But the game has changed, and a guy like that just isn't as valued as much as he would have been, you know, 20, 30 years ago.
No, absolutely. Well, Chris, great stuff as always. I really appreciate you taking some time, and hopefully we can do it again soon and maybe even start talking about basketball again.
Well, it's always fun to visit with you, Paul. We've done pretty well since there hasn't been many games, but now that we're going to have games again, we'll have even more to talk about.
No, absolutely. I appreciate it, Chris, and we'll do it soon. All right, buddy?
Thanks, Paul.
All right, that's Chris Ekstrand from the NBA again, the world's foremost authority on basketball. It's the Paul Zeiss Show on 93.7 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.